This Monday.com ad was created by a team of people and AI agents. The agents wrote the copy and managed the timelines, while our human creative director made sure it all made sense. Easy. Create your own AI agent today on Monday.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. And hey, tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 5:35 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Durham Bulls, the AAA affiliate of the Tampa Bay Rays. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. So as far as the Predators are concerned, it just seems like the difference between the Predators and the teams that make it far in the playoffs, that are Stanley Cup favorites, is that elite forward. That, you know, that just game wrecker, can't ignore him, take the game over kind of elite center. The Predators just simply don't have that. And it's not easy to get. If you're not Chicago and you get Connor Bedard handed on a silver platter, it's not easy to find those guys, and nor is it a quick transition to be able to develop those guys if you do indeed draft them. If you want to go get one of those developed guys, they're going to be expensive. It's going to take a whole lot of draft picks. But could one of those guys potentially be available for the taking for the Nashville Predators? They got plenty of them in Toronto. And we know that the Toronto fans, after losing in the second round, were frustrated. They were angry about it. And Kyle Dubas was the general manager in Toronto, the Maple Leafs GM Kyle Dubas, was asked about the direction of the franchise, if the team will look any different next year than it did this year. This was Leafs GM Kyle Dubas.
Are you open to perhaps trading one of those top players this summer if you continue on as GM?
The way I would answer it is I would consider anything with our group here that would allow us a better chance to win the Stanley Cup. So that I would take nothing off the table at all. And I think everything would have to be considered with regards to anything to do with the Leafs.
Anything is on the table for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
The famous line that a good GM will say to not say too much or
exactly.
Too little.
Yeah. Anything's on the table. So, what's
really on the table? That's the question.
Like, I'll take his word for it. If anything is on the table, should the Predators be in the business of potentially seeking out a trade for one of those elite forwards that the Toronto Maple Leafs have plenty of, that the Predators have been lacking?
Well, let's look at, so how are the Leafs, what's the problem with the Leafs? They have basically four guys that take up an enormous percentage of their salary cap, and mm-hmm. They're all forwards, right? So they have what would be a top-heavy roster. Now, all four of those guys, to this point in their career, have been really, really good. But filling out the rest of the roster has been a problem. Goalie's been a problem. The right defense core, the right role players, it hasn't obviously come together in the postseason to any great degree. They finally did win a round, and then they turned right around and lost in the second round, and everybody's just as ticked off in Toronto for all these reasons. Okay, so there are four guys. Every year when they lose, everybody says, well, is it time to trade one of those four guys that you have?
Austin
Matthews makes $11.6 million. John Tavares, $11 million. Mitch Marner, $10.9 million. William Nylander, about $7 million. So those are the four guys. So every year they talk about trade one of those guys, and they never do it.
Yeah.
Right? So now, again, people are asking the same question. So this is not a new thing for the Maple Leafs.
Yeah. Because losing in the playoffs also is not a new thing to the Maple Leafs.
So let's eliminate, at least off the bat, Tavares. He's older. He's 32. Mm-hmm. and he's not worth $11 million a year right now. He's got 2 years left. So I don't think he would be the answer that the Predators are looking for. He's sort of on the backside of his career. He's a great player, but that's not good value.
You're looking to build.
So Matthews is another guy. Mm-hmm. Franchise guy. He's got 1 year left on his deal. So all of the talk in Toronto is, are they going to extend him and pay him the next huge contract, which will probably make him the highest paid player in the league.
Around 14.
That is probably not too crazy to think that.
Which is wild.
Some people maybe 14. Think they could get him down just a little bit more than McDavid, mm-hmm. who he's not better than. He's not better than McDavid, but it's when you become the free agent, right, mm-hmm. and all these things.
Deshaun Watson is not better than Joe Burrow. He makes more money than Joe Burrow.
Yes.
Perfect example. Perfect example. And Matthews is a great player.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But most people think that they can't let him go, right? They got to keep him. Like, are they really going to trade Austin Matthews?
Anything is on the table.
I mean, he did say that. Most people don't think that's going to happen.
If the Leafs fans are mad now, they'd be infuriated if they traded away Austin Matthews. I think Mitch Marner's
got 2 years left on his deal at 10.9. He's only 26. I mean, that's an elite forward that you'd love to have. It'd be awesome if you can have him. But
yeah.
Again, you ask yourself, are they really going to move on from him? I don't know. Nylander is the one that, to me, is a little bit more intriguing. He's always the quote, fourth guy, and he's a little spacey at times, but he's very, very talented. He's a little less expensive. He's 27. He's got 1 year left on his deal. That's the one to watch, mm-hmm. to me. That might be the name of the four that might be the guy they're going to get a lot of calls about. But again, you go down to, is he the guy you want to, is he that good that you would go all in on a trade for him? I don't know but that's an intriguing name for sure.
And that's the one thing, is if you're going to make a trade like that, what's the asking price? And
right?
Two, is it worth it? If you want to make a run for a Marner or a Matthews, I mean, that's going to be an absolute massive haul just to trade him, first
right,
of all,
right.
and to pay him, second of all. But is that worth it? Is that player who you think is going to be able to be part of the building blocks to get you to the Stanley Cup final? And you add a piece like a Mitch Marner, and I think, yes. Nylander, I don't know. Honestly, yep. I don't know. It definitely makes you a better team, absolutely. But is the deal what you would have to give up and what you would have to pay him, which really, around $7 million, it's not crazy for a really solid four that you can build your team around.
But you
is
only
that
have,
the missing piece?
Yeah, and you only have him for 1 year. Before then, you have to sign him to the next
probably
deal.
Probably the 9, the 10.
It could be, yeah. Yeah, especially if he's what you want him to be.
Right.
Then he's going to get a raise. I'd just be stunned if they actually will shop Marner or Matthews. I'll believe that when I see it. Like mm-hmm. you like to say, Nylander intrigued me.
The day.
But I think Nylander's not quite what those other two guys are.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's really, really good, but he benefits from being on the team with those guys. So I'm not sure that it's the Leafs if you're looking at the Predators is the match, right? I think there's some other things that they might look at.
And this is just the Leafs.
Yeah.
I mean, there are going to be several other players that are going to end up on the market.
I am sure that Barry Trotz is sitting there with his people on a daily basis, and they're going through all of the teams, all of their salary cap situations. I got into an interesting discussion with a friend of mine this morning about the Lightning and their situation. Like, they are up against it, and they are losing depth guys every year. So what might be available there? I don't know if it's the elite forward that would be the perfect fit here, right? That's you're trying to figure out, how do I ever get that guy? And what would I be willing to give up to get that guy? I know what a lot of people are talking about right now from Predator circles, too, is philosophically, would it be worth, with Askarov coming up? So the next chapter for Askarov is tonight, game 3.
Yep.
Let's see how he does in his next little showcase. In the playoffs, you know, as he hopefully is on his way to a great career, either for the Predators or for somebody in the NHL. He's super young, but people are really excited about his ceiling for sure. Meanwhile,
totally.
You got Juuse Saros, who's at the top of his game. You've got him for 2 more years. And so philosophically, people are asking, would you think about trading Saros for one of these number one center kind of guys? Is that philosophically something that you would think about? And it's a really interesting question, because you're seeing – at the NHL level right now in the playoffs, there really isn't that super dominant goalie
right.
that's currently playing right now. Now, if you look back to the last few years, Andrei Vasilevskiy is that guy, and they won two cups with him and got to a final, a third straight year with him as their goalie. So, yeah, I mean, you can still win. It doesn't mean you can't win when you do have an ace goalie. And the fact is there's not a lot of those goalies out there, but Saros is one of them. And he's only $5 million a year for the next 2 years. So that's something to consider, too.
And that's another thing is Saros' trade value I don't think will be any higher than it is right now because of the dollar amount associated with UC Saros. He only makes $5 million a year, and he is playing at an elite level. But that's what I want to kind of continue coming up next. UC Saros, I believe, is the Predators' most valuable trade asset at the moment. Are you willing to make that move to build up the rest of the offense? We'll get into that coming up next, and I see your thoughts in the text line. We'll get to those as well. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
UC Saros coming to Toronto, William Nylander coming to Nashville. You say what?
I say that I think when you look around the sport right now, even as good as Saros is, I'm not sure that the Maple Leafs go for that. I mean, if they're going to give up Nylander, I think that their target is going to be more of a defenseman. Maybe a number two defenseman, which, as we all know, are not easy to come by. And my only issue with the goaltending situation, I mean, they're pressed up against the cap anyways. And, yeah, you know, I think Nylander's, his cap hit is just below 7. So that's digestible for a lot of teams. But I think that we saw the Boston College kid, Joseph Woll, who played the last two games in the playoffs. He's 24 years old. I think they look at him. They've got him for a reasonable deal. He's a rookie. But I think that they look at that and say, you know what? I mean, we can get this kid, 3 years entry-level contract. It's very digestible. And maybe re-sign Samsonov, as opposed to going for the big splash and goal and maybe trying to tweak things, whether it be up front, at forward. And what I mean is a different type of forward, maybe less finesse and a little more grit. Now, I'm not talking about a third or fourth liner. They're going to want more for that than Nylander. Or somebody on defense.
That was Mike Zeisberger of NHL Network on a potential Saros to Toronto trade. And I know that there are probably so many Predators fans out there saying, no, you cannot trade Saros. And it would be a really difficult decision to make. But if you want to trade for an elite forward type of player that you could build around for the next coming years, you're going to have to give up a good bit to get it. The Predators have a ton of draft picks this season, mm-hmm. and UC Saros is their most valuable trade piece. But there's also another element to it of where does Askarov come into consideration? Because you'd probably say another year at the lower level, and then he would be ready. So let's say you hold on to UC Saros this year, you run it back with Saros in the 23-24 season. The Predators may get to the point where they're at a crossroads, where it's Askarov or it's Saros. And you're going to have to make a decision with Saros at some point, whether it's this season or next season.
It's a great point there. We do need to make one clarification. When we're talking about an elite forward, mm-hmm. to me, are we talking about a wing or a center? The center. So mm-hmm. Nylander, for example, is not a center.
Right.
He's a wing. So that's a little different than somebody who is that true number one center, because those guys are hard to find.
And so, Austin Matthews.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, those are the guys that just don't grow on trees. They're hard to find. So remember that. Distinguish that when we're talking about Saros, because if you're even going down this road, then you got to be blown away, because Saros is a franchise guy. Derek, you asked a great question in the break. Okay, let's compare what they got from Matthias Ekholm, which was a pretty good package, and mm-hmm. Tanner Janot, which was an unbelievably good package. And if you got that for those guys, what could you get for Saros?
Yeah, because he's an elite goalie, and it's sort of like the quarterback.
Exactly.
If you have an elite quarterback, he may be young, the likelihood of you even, you know, likelihood of you moving away from him is slim to none. And I understand that hockey's a little bit different because, you know, you have two goalies because, you know, one guy can't play the whole season. So it's a little bit different from what a quarterback is. But I'm coming from, you know, from the thought of quarterback franchise guy, goalie franchise guy. This organization has been in good hands for the last 20 years with goalies. Mm-hmm. Why would you even want to chance that? And I understand that the young goalie, he might be great. We get it, but we haven't seen it. When we saw it, we saw a glimpse of it, but then we saw why he still needs some time.
We saw it.
So why would you then go and say, well, unless somebody just blows you away and you can't refuse the trade, I get it. But you got a franchise goalie. Why even touch it? Just leave it there. Find something else, someone else, to try to move instead of your goalie. Because if you do that, if it works out, then great. A scarf comes in, the young kid comes in, and he's great. But what if it doesn't work?
So then you get fired.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Congratulations.
Absolutely. You got a guy that's, you know, that's just been lights out for you, and he's carried you a lot. You trade him away just because, oh, this young guy, he has that potential. We see it. It's there. You trade Soros away and it doesn't happen. The fans are going to hate you. Even the ones that said, make the trade, they go all of a sudden say, I told you shouldn't made that trade. You should have made it.
Yeah, that's how it works.
That's how it's going to work.
How so fans
why
work.
Exactly? So why even mess? Why even go down that road?
So Askarov, just to put it in perspective, mm-hmm. he is only 20 years old. He mm-hmm. is among the youngest goalies in the AHL, which is one level below the NHL, and yet he's done very well. Like he's still got plenty of room to go. If you ask mm-hmm. all the scouts, the Predator people, there's still lots that he can improve on, which is scary, exciting scary, because he's doing well as it is at 20. And so here we go again with the next playoff game tonight. Under pressure, let's see if he can help them win with all the other prospects that are down there. It's kind of fun to see how they're going to do. You asked a good question, though. Is this the year that they're going to really consider this, or is it next year? Mm-hmm. Because if you fast forward 1 year, mm-hmm. you'll have another year to evaluate Askarov. Next summer, he'll be 21. Right, you'll have a whole nother year in theory of the AHL, or maybe some spot duty for the Predators. He'd be the third guy on paper because they re-signed Kevin Lankinen, who had a mm-hmm. great year last year. Soros will have 1 year left on his contract. So I think he would still have extremely good trade value. A team could trade for him, have him at $5 million for 1 year, and then
it's a steal.
The other thing that's going to happen next summer, the cap is going to go up. Mm-hmm. So all these teams that have been strapped for salary cap room for 2 years, 3 years, they'll have more room to operate and say, okay, we can work a big salary in for a goalie. So I think there will be a lot of opportunities next year, and the Predators can evaluate it at that point and say, okay, do we want Soros for a much higher price? He's going to get a raise, right? He's a bargain right now, one of the best bargains in hockey at $5 million. So are we okay paying him $8.5-9 million per year, which is maybe the ballpark of what you're looking at as he gets older? And then you turn around and trade Askarov for what you could get from him. I mean, there's a lot of options that you would have. So
that's true. You don't have to go the Askarov route.
So I would be surprised if they got to a point where they really considered trading Soros this summer. Mm-hmm. Next summer, I think it's going to be one of the biggest stories of the offseason.
Totally.
Is and what to do about that whole thing. Because it's a good problem. You have two really highly rated goalies. Plus Lankinen, who is a guy that is very useful to have around too.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing is, you know, the plan could be we'll start shopping around next year, but the offer might land on your doorstep. And if the offer's there, you seriously have to consider it. And one texter texts in the text line and says, trade Duchesne and draft picks and prospects for Auston Matthews. The Maple
Good
Leafs
luck.
Don't want Matt Duchesne. That's the tough thing. He's expensive and not very good. Mm. And that's the tough thing about trades, especially when you're looking at it from a fan perspective. You can say, hey, get rid of those players that we don't want and get good players. No smart GM is going to make that move. I know that you want to move on from the players that are expensive or old or hurt or don't contribute and don't produce for this team, but you have to make the tough decisions and trade away the players that are really tough to move to upgrade and get those players that you think are going to help your team even more. Take the A.J. Brown trade, for example. In theory, you trade away an older, expensive, hurt-a-lot player for a younger, cheaper, not-hurt-as-much player. In theory, that sounds like a really great trade. That's a tough decision to make, a tough trade to make. Now, it didn't pay off in the first year, but I see the thought process behind it. Look at Stephon Diggs. The Vikings traded Stephon Diggs, drafted Justin Jefferson. Well, that seems like a brilliant trade. Probably was very uncomfortable at the time to trade away your franchise wide receiver, but it paid off. You have to make the uncomfortable trades to get the good players that you really want. No team's going to give you a good player for a bad player. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, you do get calls in your fantasy league sometimes. Yeah. There's always that guy that's offers, can I get your quarterback for my third string running back and my fourth string
thinking
wide receiver?
You're not paying attention?
Yeah, like, come on. They don't look at it like, what's he going to say when I actually propose this?
What am I supposed
but
to
say? But I do think that there will be teams that are up against the cap that, out of necessity, are going to be looking for any way they can to drop salary or, you know, be looking to move guys around. They're looking to shake it up a little bit. I think that's, and Barry Trotz has referenced that. Like last summer, they benefited by the Lightning having salary cap issues. And that's why a great player like Ryan McDonagh was available for nothing. Mm-hmm. They got him for nothing. That not only did they get him for nothing, they gave away Philip Myers' contract, which was not nothing. Like, a guy that they had no use for, and Tampa ended up having no use for. They took that contract. So it was like, thanks, man. Like, that was a great trade for the Predators, but it only happened because they had some salary cap room, and Tampa had none. So these are the types of things that could come available. And I'm not saying you'll get the number one center that way.
Right.
But you can improve your team that way.
Totally. 615-737-1025. And some other NHL news. Poor Arizona.
Yeah.
Oh, man. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game.
We are very disappointed that Tempe voters did not approve Propositions 301, 302, and 303. As Tempe Mayor Corey Woods said, this was the best sports deal in the history of Arizona. The Coyotes wish to thank every single person who supported our efforts and voted yes. So many community leaders stepped up and became our advocates, and for that, we will forever truly be grateful. We also wish to thank the countless volunteers who worked so hard to try and make the Tempe Entertainment District a reality, and the Tempe City Council for the unanimous approval and support as well.
That was Xavier Gutierrez, CEO of the Arizona Coyotes. And I have to laugh. At the beginning of that clip, you know, he says, unfortunately, you know, the vote didn't pass. And you hear a big choir of, oh. A lot of people bummed in the background. Oh. And that's kind of how I feel for Arizona. So the whole thing is, you know, just a refresher. The Arizona Coyotes are playing in Arizona State's hockey arena, in Mullett Arena now. And the whole idea was that they would pass this bill on creating a new arena in Tempe and kind of adopting the same kind of Battery in Atlanta type of vibe around it, an entertainment district with bars and restaurants and shops, and basically turning this area in Tempe where it's pretty much nothing, and turning it into the Coyotes arena, turning it into a whole nightlife arena, turning it into a place where people can go, create revenue. It's a great idea, but it ultimately did not pass. And since that hasn't passed, I have to think the Arizona Coyotes, its existence is in danger. I don't think the Coyotes are going to exist past next year at the absolute latest. And that's a shame. It really is.
They've got a lease at Mullett Arena, which is, you know, it's a college arena. It's a 5,000. It's like almost like going to Fort Ice. It doesn't look that much different than Fort Ice. It's a nicer version.
Uh-huh.
So they have a place, but it's not an NHL.
It's not conducive
venue.
For an NHL team.
It works only if it's leading you towards this new dream that they had. But the fact is, as I looked at the results of the vote, it wasn't even close. It was like 56-44. Like it was a pretty solid win for a solid no, mm-hmm. a firm no. It wasn't like, hey, we need a recount, you know, or something like right. that, or it doesn't look good.
Yeah, Willie, you're exactly right. And the votes, the yeses and nos were different by at least 4,000 last night when I was taking a look. And so I just told Caroline this, but there is some news on the front with the Coyotes. Greg Wyshynski, who will join Chase and Michelle tomorrow, yours truly filling in for the suit. But the Coyotes have a little bit of some hope, I would say, here. NHL Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly tells ESPN, I do not envision a scenario in which the Coyotes are not playing in Mullet Arena next season. So I would slow the talk on them moving next year.
Well, next year is one thing. Mm. It's after next year is the real question.
Right.
And what Elliot has said in his podcast, and we'll talk to him tomorrow as well.
Yeah.
He said that what the league might try to do is go to the Phoenix Suns. Now, some of you may or may not be familiar with the layout of the whole market, right? There's Phoenix, and then there's Tempe, there's Scottsdale, there's Glendale, mm-hmm. where they played for a long time. That's where the football stadium is, mm-hmm. right?
The Phoenix metro area.
Yeah, and it's very spread out. It's all the desert. You know, getting from one place to the other can not be easy mm-hmm. sometimes, but there's a lot of people. That's the thing. The NHL does not want to lose the television market. It's a big market. A lot of people live in that area. So at one point, they played in the same arena that the Suns played. When they first moved to town, they first moved from Winnipeg, they played in America West Arena. That's where Barkley and Dan Marley and Kevin KJ, those great Suns teams, that's where they played. It was not a hockey venue. In fact, there were certain seats in there that you couldn't see part of the ice. So they knew that was only kind of temporary. Mm-hmm. So they built the arena in Glendale, which is a 30 to 45 minute drive if you're lucky and the traffic's not bad, right? It's way out there. And they thought that this was the area that was going to grow. You know, the Cardinal Stadium's out there. This is where big communities are going to sprout up. It'll work. And it didn't. So now the Tempe thing, a swing and miss. So Elliot is saying you might go back to the Suns, to their owner, and say, would you like to buy the team and have two tenants in your arena, mm-hmm. you know, and not just one, because now the Suns have a newer arena, which is also not super built for hockey, right? It'd have to take some adjustments according to those guys. That seems like a Hail Mary right now. So I would say that in a year, it's very likely. The thing they got going for is Gary Bettman will give them not just three strikes. It's like six strikes. It's like the kid in
the
T-ball.
They're already past three strikes, at this point.
Yeah, like you know, sometimes you play like coach pitch, and you're like, okay, if the kid misses four or five, you can stop it and then put the ball on a tee. You know, that's what Gary Bettman is. He's that dad that's like, I just don't want you to strike out. I don't want you to have to walk back.
Well, you don't want to lose the market.
Out. Yeah.
You don't want to have to move outside of, you know, a market that's pretty big. And then where do you go? If you do indeed have to move outside of that market.
Well, that's where those cities pop up. You guys have one.
I love
the dream.
The dream is Utah.
Salt Lake.
Yes.
You
Salt
guys
Lake,
both,
Mount
you guys
Lions.
Were on this morning.
Yeah.
I'm going to call them the Mount Lions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I consider Salt Lake a home away from home.
Exactly.
Yeah. I've never been, but love it. Totally joking.
And there is a guy. There is somebody that would like to make that happen someday. Like he was thinking about expansion. Like there have been some talks between Salt Lake and Gary Bettman.
I think that's what Gary Bettman wants for this franchise is you want buy-in. Mm-hmm. I mean, the people in Arizona, really, for the most part, they don't care about the Coyotes. There's probably a small and loyal fan base. But I was talking to somebody today from Phoenix, and I said, you know, what do you think about this? They said, go. They need to leave. They need to leave. The buy-in from the city and from the fan base, it's just not there. And you see that by the fact that they're playing in a college arena. So now the question is, where can this franchise go? I know Atlanta has popped up a bunch, and I'm not going to ostracize Atlanta from the NHL forever, But they've had two opportunities and two cracks at it to have a hockey team. If I'm Gary Bettman, I'm not doing that again. When the experiment failed, you know, less than 15 years ago, Salt Lake is an option. I wonder, Quebec, you know, add another Canadian team into the market.
Quebec wants it bad. There's no question.
Houston is another one that wants it bad.
And geography is going to come into play here, too, because you have tons of teams in the East. You need, in a perfect world, geography-wise, for it to be in the Central or West. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think Salt Lake could work. Houston's been rumored for a long time. I don't know that Houston has the person carrying the torch, saying, I'm bringing the NHL to Houston. Like, they need that guy. Kansas City has always had the arena. They don't have an NBA team. Geographically,
it
makes
sense. Do you have two hockey teams in
Missouri? Well, I mean, it's a good natural rival, right?
That's true.
That's the way you could look at it. Just like Dallas would be a great rival for Houston, right? So some of that could be a good thing. Like, Seattle could be a good natural rival for Vancouver. That was one of the things when they came in. So all that to say is let the talks begin. Sacramento is the other team, the other city that was thrown out there by Elliot on his podcast. I don't know about that. I need to know more about Sacramento before I think about that.
I can
one.
Tell you more about Sacramento than anybody else probably can in this room.
Do
Kings
tell.
Fan.
Do
yeah.
tell.
Well, because I've got family, that's probably my only advantage to the situation. But it is a cool downtown market. It is a pretty big area that's growing. I don't really give it merit for hockey. I've grown up here in this market. If they introduced hockey there, I think it would go off very well. They're close enough to the Sharks. It could work. I don't know about that. That's kind of a stretch.
Yeah, Sacramento seems like a stretch to me. But I think we've all seen, at least as far as expansion teams are concerned, go back with the Predators, how much this city has embraced the Predators, Seattle and Vegas most recently. And I know that those are expansion teams and it's different than moving a franchise. But we've seen a lot of success in new hockey cities, the way that so many cities have absolutely embraced and loved those teams. So I think that's what Gary Bettman is looking at, or at least if I was Gary Bettman, that's what I would look at, the potential in some of these markets that want it badly versus what they're getting in Arizona right now, which is just not a whole lot of support.
And that I think, is where Salt Lake has the early attention, because they do seem to want it more than these other cities. Of course, Quebec definitely wants it. I mean, it's a Canadian city.
Yeah. But hockey town.
Geography-wise, it doesn't work. It just won't work.
Yeah. Let's get some of your thoughts on this. Steve is on the line with a thought. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's up, Steve?
Hey, how are you guys this afternoon?
Good.
Good. Hey, listen, I think you mentioned Atlanta while I was getting switched over to being on hold. Did you mention Atlanta and the fact that they've had two chances and they couldn't do it then? And I don't think they can do it now. That's one of my opinions.
I did, yeah. They got their two cracks at it. Strikes two.
That's right.
You're out.
I agree. So I think that your staff member or whatever said Sacramento. And, you know, I don't recall that many people gave Sacramento a chance when they got an NBA team, given they're that close to Golden State and so forth. Your staff member might know better about that, about how Sacramento first, if they wanted an NBA team or not. But I think where it's going to go, if they're going to move, is Houston. The guy that owns all those restaurants, whose last name begins with Trattoria or something like
Tillman
that.
Tillman Fertitta.
He's a billionaire, and he's based in Houston, and he has expressed interest. So that's why I think, and they've already got the facilities built and everything else. So if they're going to move it out of Phoenix, which I think they certainly ought to, since they can't get anybody to house them, I think that Houston is going to be the next thing. And now, you know, the Dallas thing you mentioned, the rivalry and so forth. I just like you guys. I know you guys mentioned it, but you know, talk about a little more on what you think if Houston's an option.
Yeah, thanks and for your
I'll
call,
hang up
Steve.
And listen.
Thank you for your call, Steve. Appreciate your input.
It's also an enormous market that they
it
don't
is
have
huge.
Right now. It's a huge place, almost too big.
Yeah.
I think that Houston is absolutely on the table. Tillman Fertitta, that he mentioned, he owns the Rockets. Basically, everything on University of Houston's campus is named something blank arena or something blank building, whatever it is. He's got a ton of money that he can throw into the team, into a potential arena. I think Houston's absolutely on the table. But again, it comes down to arena, buy-in, who is the big cheerleader in the city. I think Houston has one of them. We mentioned Salt Lake. We mentioned Quebec. I think they're all on the table. Coming up next, the next, you know, there's an apology put out there, but I don't know how much I buy it. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie, DMAs 1025, 1063, The Game.
We talked directly about the consequences first before we got to a subsequent potential to have done something wrong. We were very focused on the misconduct that was in front of us at the time. And frankly, most of our conversation was about how incredibly serious the first incident was of waving, you know, a firearm on, you know, on social media. And again, you know, and the consequences there, an 8-game suspension was pretty serious and something that he, at least to me, seemed to take incredibly seriously in that time. And we spoke for a long time about not just the consequences that could have on his career, but the safety issues around it. Could have injured, maimed, killed himself, someone else with an act like that. And also the acknowledgement that, as you said, he's a star. I mean, he has an incredibly huge following.
Yeah.
And that my concern, and I thought he shared with me, that millions, if not tens of millions of kids globally would see him as having done something that was celebrating in a way. You know, that act of using a firearm in that fashion.
That was NBA Commissioner Adam Silver in his most recent sit-down with ESPN's Malika Andrews on Ja Morant. And hey, be caller 3 right now to win a pair of tickets to see Chevelle and 3 Days Grace at the Municipal Auditorium on October 10th. Caller 3, good luck with that. So Ja Morant, it's the second chapter of his suspension with the NBA. 2 months ago, he had an Instagram Live video in a strip club in Denver in the Grizzlies-Denver series in the first round of the playoffs. The NBA suspended him. He went through kind of counseling and therapy and rehabilitation to get back on his feet. He put out a statement, said, I apologize for hurting my team. I know that I hurt a lot of people. Fast forward to this past weekend, and there was yet another Instagram Live video of Ja Morant waving around a gun. And yet another statement put out by Ja Morant. This was last night. He said, I know I've disappointed a lot of people who have supported me. This is a journey, and I recognize there is more work to do. My words may not mean much right now, but I take full accountability for my actions. I'm committed to continuing to work on myself. I don't believe this statement. To me, and maybe I'm totally selling Ja Morant short. I understand that. This sounds to me like a PR person wrote this up, said, Ja, are you cool with this? Okay, cool. We'll put this out. And I can't believe it because he did it again. And I cannot believe yet that he has taken full accountability for his actions because we've gone through this before.
Yeah, it's like you said earlier about, you know, when we were discussing Treylon Burks and being in condition, he basically, I will believe it when I see it. It's like,
theme of the day.
Listen, I believe it when I see it. I hear it. I understand it. And I want to believe it. But until I actually see that he's ready to go, then, okay, we'll go from there. But in this situation, it's the same thing. Obviously, you know, I'm not, you know, PR people write up a bunch of stuff for a bunch of players. So this goes right in the line of every other guy that may have done something or said something and they had to put out a press release and PR firm had to come out and give a brief statement. So this sort of falls right in line with what any other player would have had their PR people do. You know, it's just suspending him for the year. No, I don't think you should. Suspending him for half the season. No, I don't think you should. Because, you know, people always go back to, well, he didn't break any laws. And you're right. He didn't break any law that we know of here in Tennessee, if indeed it happened in the Tennessee, which we assume it did. But you did. There's a code of conduct in the NBA as it is in the NFL. And I'm sure MLB and NHL as
sure.
well.
Mm-hmm.
That you can't.
Every other
do,
employer
yeah.
has a code of I mean, conduct.
That you can't gambling do. On the game. Like exactly. You can gamble now legally in a lot of places. You can't gamble on your sport. Like,
absolutely.
That's
just
our
can't
jobs
do
have
it.
A code of conduct. Yeah. Your job has a code of conduct.
So you can't do anything that's detrimental to the league's image. Every guy and girl knows that and understands it. You can't do anything that they deem detrimental to the league's image. And what you did the first time was detrimental to the league's image. What did they do? They gave you an 8-game suspension. Not necessarily the league, but Memphis Grizzlies gave you an 8-game suspension. You have a talk with Adam Silver, and we think everything's going well. You say the right things, but then a few months later, here we go again, sort of the same sort of scenario, and you do it again. What do you do now if you're Adam Silver? Well, you got to suspend him because it's conduct detrimental to the league. So you got to suspend him. Mm-hmm. My thing is you double down. Now it's 16 games. Now he's losing however X amount of dollars. He's going to lose millions upon millions amount of dollars for missing 16 games. Not only that, you know, his sponsorships are going to take a pause on him, which he's losing more money. And you just hope that when that does happen, he finally realizes and understands. And not just him, everybody that's closely associated with him, all of them finally understands that, listen, this is a young man and he has a bright future, and we need to help him navigate this bright future. Mm-hmm. Just like any other young person, you know, they have a team of people that help keep them on a straight and narrow, so they make sure they get to where they want to go. This is no different with Ja Morant. His parents, you know, his agent, whoever else, they need to step in and say, listen, if you continue going on this road, you're not, the NBA is going to kick you out. They're not going to touch you, no matter how good you are. They are going to get as far away from you as they possibly can. Why? Because there are 25 other Ja Morant on their way up to the NBA. And they can be the face, and people will forget about yours. They will be talking about you on a 30 for 30 in about 10 years if you don't get this right. They may miss you, but the NBA is moving forward. We're not stopping. I'm hoping and praying the kid gets it right. I really do. But again, it goes back to I will believe it when I see it.
That was what I heard from the commissioner there, just the disappointment, mm-hmm. that he thought they had a good talk. You know, he thought that there was a buy-in. You know, I read through it, like he went to some counseling sessions, but it appears when that something like that happens that he wasn't as serious about it as he needed to be, and now he's going to have to be punished a second time. It's like, okay, you didn't get the message the first time. It was 8 games. Now we got to go 16 or whatever it is. But you can tell he wants Ja to succeed.
Exactly.
He wants him to succeed. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you got to have tough love a little bit, and you got to look out for the league.
Mm-hmm. He did kind of sound like a disappointed dad.
Yeah.
But I hope Ja gets the message, because he's got far too much talent to waste on doing something dumb. That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Stillman & Company is up next.
Be love and love on somebody. Peace.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. If you love great games and a little extra excitement to your day, I got something fun for you. Chumba Casino and I have teamed up to create an exclusive online social casino game. It's called Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's fun and free to play, just like all your favorites from Chumba Casino. And every spin brings 10,000 ways to keep the good times going. Check it out and play for free today at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.